A lot easier to operate the PowerPoint with this. Well, it's time for us to begin. This morning we're talking about our Christian attitude towards time. Of course, we spent a good bit of time this last week in our gospel meeting. Learning it from John. Of course, last week he talked to us about prayer. And you can consider that your class on the Christian's attitude towards prayer. Because he covered a lot of stuff we would have covered if we'd have been talking about that subject and did a much better job than I'll ever do. But it was good to have that done. To have the meeting and to be here and to study God's Word. One of the things that I want to do this morning is go back to our first class, since we haven't met in almost 2 weeks now. I think it's 2 weeks today since our last class. And kind of remind ourselves about some things. First of all, what is attitude? And we talked about it being a predisposition or tendency to respond positively or negatively towards a certain idea, object, person, or situation. Two words that I want us to pay particular attention to in this is predisposition and tendency. A lot of times I think we get in trouble with, as far as sin goes, because we haven't really thought about a particular situation or something along those lines. And so it's important for us to study, to spend time studying, so that when a situation arises, we are prepared to respond to that appropriately, whether that be a positive response or a negative response. And too many times I think we have a knee-jerk reaction to something because we really haven't thought about it ahead of time. One example of this would be in choosing a mate, a spouse. I had the opportunity when I was at Florida College to study or to take a class called Home and Family that was based on the book by Brother Lee. And that really kind of helped me get some things in my mind about what I needed to look for in a spouse. And so, you know, as I went through college, I dated a few girls, not a whole lot, but when I found the one I wanted, I pretty much married her. So, but my point is that it's important to study about things like that, to prepare our minds so that we have the right attitude towards it, so that our predisposition or tendency have been guided by what we've studied. And so that's kind of what I want to take out of that particular slide, is that we need to prepare ourselves to have the right response. And of course, that's what this class is all about, is preparing ourselves to have the proper response, the proper attitude towards various subjects. Attitude influences an individual's choice of action and responses to challenges, incentives, and rewards. And of course, those challenges and incentives and rewards are what we might call stimuli. And so when we when a situation arises, we are able to respond to that appropriately. We talked about, well, let me back up to here. We've got a picture of an iceberg up here. And we talked about in our first class about how the part you see of an iceberg is not even a third of the actual iceberg, because most of it is underwater. And so we kind of see that, and we see we might have a particular problem with a person because all we see is, you know, a small portion of that. We may not know the reasons why a person does something that that they do that may offend us or cause us problems. So we need to not have too much of a knee-jerk reaction to that person. And of course, that's what, you know, studying about attitudes is all about, is preparing ourselves to deal with situations appropriately. In Matthew, there's a passage, I think it's 15, chapter 15, I don't remember the verse, but it says, but those things which proceed from the mouth, that's what we can hear that and kind of react to it. But what is it that defiles a man? It's the things that are from the heart, the part that we don't see, at Matthew 15, 18. And so we need to have our hearts trained properly and understand that concept. So let's get on into the lesson. Excuse me. In many respects, our attitude towards time is a very neglected subject. We don't always think about it. We get busy with other things, and we don't think about the time and the importance of it and what we should be doing versus in terms of prioritization. What is a higher priority? We get caught up in what we're doing and sometimes lose track of time. I know I do when I'm working at the farm or working on a piece of equipment or something like that. And Sharon or Caitlin or one of those will have to call me in for dinner or whatever, because I've completely lost track of time trying to get done what I was doing. Many ills come upon us from not properly esteeming time. What does that mean to esteem time? I'm sorry, say again. Right. Right, to place a higher value on it, to understand the importance of it, and we're going to talk about some of those aspects this morning. The way one spends his or her time determines and reveals the character of an individual. You know, that's pretty straightforward and obvious. If we're spending our time doing the things we ought to do, whether it's in our work or whatever, then it speaks to our character. And conversely, if we're out doing stuff that is not important, recreation or something like that, which has its place, but if we're spending too much time doing things like that instead of taking care of the business that we need to take care of, then that can reflect on our character negatively. So the first thing we want to think about is the Christian is to deem time very valuable. Time is valuable as a builder. character may break down or break to pieces and be built again. The example that's cited here is Peter. Remember that, you know, when Peter was talking about them being scattered and not staying with him and so forth, Peter said, I will never deny you. And the Lord told him that before the cock crowed, he would deny him three times. Of course, Peter was adamant that that wouldn't happen, but it did happen. And as soon as he denied him the third time and the cock crowed, he realized that what Jesus had told him was true and realized what he had done. And he wept bitterly. It affected him a lot. But through time, Peter was able to deal with that and to become the teacher, the preacher, the apostle that he was, that Jesus wanted him to be. It can be valuable. Time can be valuable as a detective. If you are trying to figure out something, and this mentions the fact a genuine or a counterfeit is often determined by time. If you're trying to figure out what really happened, what the truth is, what's real and what's fake, then time can do that. 1 Corinthians 3, 10 through 15, according to the grace of God which was given to me, a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay that was laid than that which was laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's, and this is the important verse here, each one's work will become clear. Whether their work is genuine or whether it's to be seen by men, for example. And this passage also talks about building, which was our first point. And so we can see that over time, our true intentions, our true ability, our true, I'm searching for a word, I can't think of it, but whether we're true to what we're doing or whether we're not will be evident over time. It's also valuable as a physician. Health can be lost and regained. Broken hearts can be mended. I know I've generally been a pretty healthy person all my life, but lately I've had a few health problems, and you know, thankfully they are a lot of them are healed. I'm still having trouble in the back, but anyway, it's and there's a saying that time can heal all wounds, but that's talking about a wound such as a broken heart, as mentioned in this point, that, you know, we've all had relationships that didn't go the way we wanted us to because for one reason or another, and we our heart is broken over that, and it's kind of tough sometimes. But eventually time will help us to heal that broken heart. Time is valuable as an arbitrator. Alienations may be dissolved, lost friends may be regained. Remember Paul's attitude about Mark when he and when Barnabas wanted to take Mark with them and Paul didn't want to because for one reason or another we're not told about, Mark just didn't continue in a work that they were they were doing together. And so because of that, Paul didn't want to take him. But if you look in the passages that are up there, particularly Colossians 4:10 and 2 Timothy 4:11, we see a whole different attitude that Paul had about Mark, and that relationship was restored because Mark made the proper corrections, and Paul recognized that and commends him in those two passages. And continuing on with this idea of deeming time as very valuable, we need to understand that time cannot be recalled. Once a minute has passed, there's nothing you can do to regain that minute back, or hour, or day, or week, or year. One of the things that comes to my mind along these lines is, most of you know, I've been a high school football official. We have state camp every year, and at state camp, one of our instructors made the point that, you know, if you've been calling football for 20 years, but you're not really evaluating yourself and making changes, it's not really 20 years experience. It's 1 year experience 20 times over. And his point was, to try to get us to look at the way we officiate, look at the mechanics that we're using and things of that nature so that we get better. And he said, in order to have 20 years experience, you have to make changes every year to improve yourself. And once time has gone by, you've lost that time. Yesterday is gone forever. But Philippians 3:13, this is where Paul's talking to the Philippians, and he's talking about kind of his past and so forth. And he says, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." And of course, we all know about Paul's background and how he persecuted the church. And then once he became a Christian, there were those that were afraid of him because they knew of his past reputation. And Paul had to put that behind him and press on and to continue to work for the Lord in the proper way. All right, the second area we want to talk about is, let me pause here and see if anybody has any comments before I just ramble on. Any comments or questions? All right. So the second point we want to look at is that the Christian is to recognize the brevity and uncertainty of time. The psalmist wrote, "Make me to know my end and the measure of my days, what it is." That's Psalms 39:4 and then also 90:12. We are to walk circumspectly, redeeming the time and when he's talking about redeeming time, he's talking about using it when it's here. Once it's passed, of course, we can't go back and change things, but we can redeem the time presently, and we can plan how to use our time in the future. And so those are important things to think about. We're not to boast of tomorrow. In James 4:13-15, there it's talking about them you know, someone making plans and so forth, and it's good to make plans, but we don't really know what tomorrow is going to bring. So we still need to plan for tomorrow and to plan what we are going to do, especially when we're talking about service to the Lord. But we don't really know what tomorrow holds. And so it's important for us to redeem the time today and use our time that we have presently, because we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. To use time properly for the night cometh when no man can work. John 9:4, passage that we're familiar with. The third thing that we kind of want to look at is the Christian's attitude, or the fact that the Christian is to train himself properly to evaluate time. Ecclesiastes 3:1-8 up there is the passage that talks about there's a time for every season, time to live, a time to die, and so forth. This is passages that we're familiar with. And so there is a time for work, we need to be about that and redeeming the time towards our work. Ephesians 4, verse 28. I might have the wrong passage there. Let him who stole steal no longer. Rather, let him labor. Okay, this passage is talking about is, let him labor working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who is in need. So there's a time for us to work. And these other passages talk about that as well. There's a time to rest. Jesus was weary at times. Remember, on several occasions, you know, he was thronged with crowds who were there to hear him. A lot of them were there because he had healed people and they wanted to be healed. Jesus was a man just like we are as far as his physical nature, and he got tired at times and had to retreat in order to rejuvenate himself and be ready to press on and keep doing the work that he needed to do, that he came here to do. John 4 and verse 6. This is when Jesus was weary from his journey and he came to the well and talked with the Samaritan woman. Another example of when Jesus became weary and needed refreshment. There's time for relaxation and recreation. Jesus told his apostles to rest a while. Again, they were with him in some of his teaching and with the crowds there that were following him, and he recognized their weariness too. He encourages them to rest a while. And of course, there's always time for God. His work and service of a spiritual nature. Matthew 6 and verse 33. He says, But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. A lot of times we get caught up in trying to make a living, trying to provide for our families, which are you know, good things, but that can be done to excess. And we're going to talk about some of those things that can keep us from using the time that we need to use in God's service and so forth. And so we'll get to those here shortly. And under that point D there, many fill their days with too many useless things, leaving no time for God. Some dwell too much upon work and other items that equally rule out time for worship. And when there is not proper time for God's work, we are entirely too busy, which is an excellent point. We can get caught up with the cares of this world and become too busy and use time that we can't get back anymore for things other than God's service. And so we need to kind of be aware of that. But there will always be time to die and the time to meet God. Well, if we could keep this in our mind, you know, all the time, it would help us a lot in prioritizing our time and what we do in order to be the kind of person that God would have us to be. We need to spend the time doing those kinds of things. The Christian should endeavor not to waste time. Perhaps we're all guilty to an extent. You know, I know that in my own life, there are times where I get busy with things, and next thing I know, I'm behind on my Bible reading or something of that nature, and then I have to sit there and catch up. We all kind of need to be aware of that. And some of the things that might cause us to waste time are a lack of application and organization. It talks about the ant in Proverbs 6 through 11, that ant is busy all the time doing the things that they need to do to survive and provide for the colony and so forth. And I don't know about y'all, but when I was a kid, I had a little ant farm. By the way, don't ever let that thing break, because if you do, you have ants everywhere. But you could watch them, and I mean, it was constant motion. They were always doing things. We don't always see that when we see an ant bed in the yard or somewhere. There doesn't appear to be any activity. But having had an ant farm, I can tell you they're always constantly busy underground doing the things that they need to do. And that we need to be organized. Ants, they've got different groups of ants that do different things, and they're very industrious creatures, and they're very organized. And, of course, a lot of that's because God made them that way. We, however, have to put effort into it, and we have to choose to do the things that we need to do. We have to prioritize them and get busy doing them. Reading cheap literature. I'm not sure what the author of the book had in mind with this, but one thing that comes to my mind is there are people who watch soap operas and read romance novels and things of that nature, and I realize that there are romance novels that are Christian romance novels, but still, we can't allow ourselves to be caught up in those things, and they can be addictive. to some degree, and not read God's Word. If you want to read about a love story, read Song of Solomon. Unwholesome recreation and questionable entertainment. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 22. Chapter 5 and verse 22. Test all things, hold fast what is good, abstain from every form of evil. There are entertainment things that we can do, recreational things that we can do, that are perfectly fine to an extent. And then there are some that are just things we don't need to be involved in. There are bars and places like that all over the place where people are in there drinking and doing things they shouldn't be doing. So those are some ways that we can waste time that we need to be using for other purposes. And of course, there's nothing wrong with, you know, wholesome recreation. In fact, we already talked about the fact that Jesus encouraged his disciples to rest a while and to recuperate. There are things that we can do, but we need to stay away from the unwholesome stuff. Pondering past mistakes. We talked about Paul already doing the, all the stuff he did before he became a Christian. And he could have let that stuff eat him up. But he put it behind him and he moved on. And we have to do the same thing. Folks, we're human. We make mistakes. We do things we shouldn't do. We leave undone things that we should do. But once it's passed, we can't go back and change that. And so we need to think about the fact that we can't and use our time from here on in more important endeavors and try not to make those kinds of mistakes. And, you know, as we get older, we get better with that through practice. At least most of us do, but we can let that eat us up if we're not careful. Meditating upon financial injuries. I think probably all of us have had situations where we made a bad call on something and invested in something that didn't work out good or purchased salesman talked us into something that we later regretted. And so we can get caught up wasting time meditating on those financial injuries instead of trusting the Lord. And any of you who have been in classes with me before, that is one of my, I guess you'd call it a pet peeve, is we worry about things too much, and I'm guilty myself. That's one reason I'm so adamant about it, is that we need to trust the Lord. And that takes some effort, and it takes some time and some planning and thought about it. We can also waste time by worrying about what may happen in the future. We've already talked about, we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We talked about Philippians 4:6. And so we can waste time by worrying about what may happen in the future. That doesn't mean we don't plan for the future again, but we still need to not worry about it. We need to trust the Lord. Gossiping and lending our ear to gossip. 1 Timothy 5:13 talks about the younger widows, and that they need to remarry. They need to be about raising children and that kind of thing, and not, you know, running around from house to house gossiping. And that's, not only is it sinful, it's a waste of time. God condemns idleness and laziness. There's several passages here that talk about this. God talks about it a lot in His Word. we need to watch out for idleness. You know, there's the saying about idleness being the devil's playground. And there are times where we may be idle because we're resting, because we need the rest, but that's not what this is talking about. This is talking about just sitting around loafing, and next thing you know, you're getting into something you shouldn't. And of course, because of that, it's a waste of time when you could have used that time for something far more valuable. And of course, laziness, he talks about, if a man will not work, neither let him eat, and condemns that. And so, you know, those are all concepts that we talk about from time to time and think about, but it's important for us to think about it in terms of time and whether we are wasting time or whether we're using time appropriately, given the small amount of time that we have. So we've talked about a number of points this morning, in terms of proper use of time, what things that we do that's a waste of time, and things of that nature. And the author of this book makes this point in conclusion, and I think it's a pretty good thing. He calls it life's best motto in the exercise of time: to live as though Christ died yesterday, arose this morning, and is coming back tomorrow. I think we can all say if we knew that Christ was coming tomorrow, we'd be busy getting our lives in order and doing the things we ought to do. And so, if you kind of keep this in mind, it can help us to focus our minds on what is the best use of time for me today? What can I plan to do tomorrow? Use our time more effectively in God's service, and still do the things that we need to do for ourselves and for our families. All right, any questions or comments on any of that? All right. Next week, or not next week, but Wednesday night, we'll talk about our attitude towards recreation. We kind of mentioned recreation tonight. And so we'll talk about that on Wednesday. Thank you for your attention.